Okay, let's pray. Praise you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that when we come together, your presence is here with us. We just acknowledge, Lord, all the good things you have done for us, Lord. And we come to your word, Lord, expecting for your word to quicken us, to enable us, Lord, to hear from you and to receive. We just open ourselves up to you, Lord, with our hearts, with our ears and our minds, Lord, to be able to appropriate everything that you have done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, the last week we were talking about the fear of the Lord. And really, understanding that by itself give us the best breakthroughs that we can ever imagine. Because this is the basis for all our relationship with Him. It's too much. One more. Oh, no, it's okay. Okay. We got our light off last Thursday for quite a few hours, and it happened when we were here. So we had to call around everybody because the meeting was black, you know. But by the time the meeting was started, there was no light. It was freezing because there was absolutely no heating. So it wasn't the thing to do. You know, anyway, I think we got most of the people except a few, fortunately, they came here. But and praise the Lord, wasn't our place that was damaged. All right, so what we are going to, you know, we are going to continue on that. By itself, you know, we are talking about breaking strongholds with prayer. Okay, so prayer is the way to break through the strongholds, to be open. But prayer, you know, sometimes we look at prayer as something that we go to God to ask for things, specific things, or we need to verbalize things. When you communicate with God, when God, you speak to God, you don't need any formality. You don't need any formula. What you need is your heart to get involved in that. And whenever you talk to Him, you are praying. And He, and it's not just you talk to Him, He talks to you. And so when you talk to Him and He talks to you, that's, there is communication and there is a way to. So when we talk about, we learn about prayer, it's not just a question of learning a formula or one or two, three things that we have to repeat all the time. We go before Him all the time. We pray without ceasing. And we connect with Him. That's what we need. We need that connection, that interaction, that relationship that makes a difference. I mean, there can be time, you know, that when we do is more formal way, and you know, like for example, tonight. But that are the, you know, the things that happen once in a while. But we shouldn't once in a while connect with God. Our connection will be going on all the time because He's our source, He's our strength. Okay, and the fear of the Lord, which is actually not a fear, really, literally, is a reverence, is a knowledge, and is knowing that we depend on Him. Is connecting with Him to receive. That has to be there all the time. And it's something that impacts the way we act, the way we do, what we do. You know, the fear of Jehovah, the fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever, says in Psalm 19:9. See, one of the things that does is clean us up, make us sure that we walk in His way, okay? And then, you know, endures forever. It's not just something that was good for the Old Testament. It's good all the time. It's good today as well in the Old Testament. God doesn't change. Amen. Hallelujah. And when, you know, the fear that changes, the fear of the world goes away when we have the fear of the Lord. And the reason is that because we are connected with Him, we have need not to fear anything. You know, perfect love casts out fears, but doesn't cast out the fear of the Lord. Actually makes it stronger. Because this is what makes, you see, because the love that you have for Him wants, you know, inside you, motivates you to be connected, to be wanting to please Him, to do the things that are pleasing Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that has an impact. You know, when that is around, when people, you know, as a church have that in them, then there is an impact on the result and the characteristics of the church. You know, the early church in Acts 9 verse 31 says clearly, and then the churches through Judea and Galilee and Samaria at peace and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord. That's New Testament. That is the early church. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. You see, that's one of the things that produce multiplication, okay? And it's real multiplication. You can get multiplication based on clubs, you know, false religion grow and multiply. But there's not a good multiplication he's talking about here. It's the multiplication brought about by the Holy Spirit, okay, that makes a difference. Okay, and this is when the fear of the Lord is there. Okay. Praise the Lord and give you strength. So now we can move on. Okay. We can move on into another stronghold. But when we talk about stronghold, they're all connected together. As I said before, they're a network. So when you know, the fear of the Lord has impact on the other and the other has impact on the fear of the Lord, and really you can't separate them so well. But you have to, you know, we can look at different aspects of these things that are there hindering our relationship with God. And the second one we were looking at is actually ignorance. We are talking about spiritual ignorance. Okay? This is something that people may think the spiritual ignorance is absence of knowledge, but it's not. Spiritual ignorance is the opposite of knowledge. It's the rejection of knowledge. You know, in there are many scriptures we are going to see, and this is a topic that actually is quite a big topic. Because it has to do with knowing, have knowledge. You see, the fear of the Lord produces knowledge. Okay? When there is no fear of the Lord, knowledge is not going to be there. And there is not going to be wisdom there. Wisdom and knowledge are connected together. Okay? So we want to see, okay, how this comes about. And how important actually this is. You know, if you remember, in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus went to see Jesus, you know, and they were trying to discuss, you know, things there, and Jesus says very clearly something to him that was beyond his understanding, Nicodemus' understanding. And he said, you know, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, the word see there means, you know, it's either in Greek. And actually what it means is to be able to see, but easily, not just physically. You know, he's talking about spiritually seeing. When you spiritually see, you understand. So really, you cannot understand spiritual thing unless you're born again. Amen. Okay. Now we are going to see that this is true to a larger extent now, but there is more than just this. This is, Jesus was talking about the different relationship or connection with God, but that doesn't preclude us to have spiritual understanding even without being born again. Otherwise, you could not be born again. Okay? Not only that, but if you look at the Old Testament, they weren't born again, and they had a relationship with God. Some of them, at least. So there has to be a way to actually be able to see spiritual things, even if you are not born again. But there is a limitation, and there is an impact there, you know, that's going to bring it about. Okay, so we are going to see a bit of that to start with. You see, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus is talking to the churches, if you remember. And seven times, or seven different churches, he repeats the same thing. He who has ear, as an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And he's really, in many cases, rebuking them because they weren't listening. So the fact that one is born again, I mean, they should have been born again, shouldn't they? I mean, they were the churches that were called out and so on. So they should have been able to hear, but evidently the fact that they were born again was not enough for them to hear properly. Or at least it was not enough for them not to cut off some of the things that they should be hearing. Because we had to see that we have a part in be able to hear. Okay, so when we are talking about breaking the stronghold of ignorance, we're talking about spiritual ignorance. It's not, you know, a question of education here. Okay, it's a question of perception. It's a question of seeing things spiritually. You know, we are not just talking about something that is we can learn by just reading something or hearing something. You know, people come for counseling sometime, and you can talk to them and clear words, quoting scripture and everything else. And they hear you physically, but they don't hear you sometimes spiritually. So they don't understand really how that applies to them. So you can see the implication there that it's not just a question of physical hearing, it's a question of be able to perceive on a spiritual level and receive spiritually the things that are there, that God is trying to communicate to us. Because everything that we receive spiritually has to come from Him. Amen. It's not man's ideas. All right? So, you know, even in the fact of ignorance, you know, no matter where we are in our knowledge and understanding of God, we don't know everything. Okay? Paul himself, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So he should have had pretty good knowledge of what he was talking about. And he had, you know, great revelation about things. You know, and he's saying here, you know, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship and so on and so forth. So you see, even then, even after everything he knew, he was there wanting to know more, wanting to know him. And the word there is ginosko, which actually in Greek implies something. It's not just mental knowledge. When you talk about ginosko, you're talking about, in the Hebrew word corresponding to that is yada, you know, and, you know, the meaning is not just a intellectual knowledge, but it's an experiential knowledge. You see, some things intellectually don't work in the physical. Many things, actually. You know, if you want to play an instrument, you can read all the books you want, but unless you are there, you know, hitting the notes on the piano, whatever it is, you are never going to get the knowledge that you need to be able to play. If you want to ski or drive a bicycle, unless you fall a few times and you do some of the things that are involved in doing that, reading a book is not going to do it. I cannot teach you how to drive by talking to you. I had to maybe help you along the way, you know, with your bike, until you get it by yourself. Are you following me? It's the same thing spiritually. spiritually is not just taking courses. You know, I'm giving you courses here, but the intention is not to do the same thing that is done generally when you go to certain places, you know, to study. You know, there are people with a PhD in theology, they are not even born again. So how do you, there, you know, supposedly the word is communicating God to us. It's his word to us. But evidently, the word in itself cannot do it. You can see it today, the way it is. You know, whole denominations are just getting off a tangent because of the pressure of the world. So they are not listening to what God is saying. Hello? Okay. So we want to be able to hear. Now, the problem is, it's not a hearing problem. It's a heart problem. Okay? It's the heart that is sick, not the ear. Because the heart, you see, the ear that we are talking about are in the heart. All right? So, the source of all spiritual knowledge is actually, we have to connect with him, and he's a spirit, and communicates to our spirit, so that our spirit can apprehend, can receive. The word in Greek there, when we talk about receive, remember, is lambano, which means take. There is a component there that has to do with us taking hold of something that is there available to us, but that we had to be grasping it, wanting to take it. Okay? And so the idea is that we had to do something to be able to receive it. It's not a passive exposure to something. There has to be more than exposure to maybe what we read or what we hear. Two people in the same room, you know, can hear what the message is sometime of a, from a preacher. One gets changed his life, the other one doesn't. And the problem is not the message. The problem is just the heart of the person. Okay, so we need to understand what is involved for us to be able to make that connection and to be able to hear properly. You know, it's not just the question, you know, breaking the breakthrough, having a breakthrough about ignorance. Oh, I say a little prayer, a magic prayer. You know, you see on TV TV too, but on Facebook and other places like YouTube, a special prayer for this and the other thing, and they think it's just because you say some words is going to make a difference. It's not the words that you say. You can say one word. I mean, Jesus didn't spend too much time praying for people to get them healed. He says, be healed. That's it. We get the idea that there are many words that are going to be moving God. God is moved already. He doesn't need to move. You had to move. And you don't need to say anything to move. Your heart has to be in the right place. Then you can say, yes, Lord. And you get it. That's all you need to say. You know? I mean, when Peter was sinking in the water because he was looking at the wind instead of looking at Jesus, you know, Jesus wasn't there, you know, trying to move the skies so that he wouldn't sink. He just stretched his hand and put him out. Okay. We had to understand the way spiritual things work. Okay. Sometimes.